Cha cha boom. Oi, how are we done this week, Ollie? I get confused about how we've done this.
Hold you up.
Yeah.
His 40s.
Hold your head. But I mean, the amount of people that I've worked with in the past that are, you know, like phenomenally successful and, you know, absolutely minted. And all the benches have got a little, you know, like dedications on them, haven't
they? Yeah, that's a nice touch, that, isn't it?
Google,
yeah.
And you put JFK, and then you put Umbrella.
BBC London 94.9.
What can you do this weekend that won't cost you anything? In fact, what can you do in London that don't cost nothing at all? Talk the walk with John the cabbie, BBC 94.
94.9.
We live in the most beautiful city on the planet Earth, and let's go around and have a look at the joys that are there to be seen.
Talk the Walk with John the Cabbie, BBC 94.9.
My name's Big George, and I talk to cab driver John Kennedy about the best walks in London. It's fascinating.
Talk the Walk with John the Cabbie, BBC 94.9.
And here's a cast iron guarantee. It's walking through the streets of London, but without any sight of Ralph McTell.
Oh! How you doing, John? All right?
I'm fine.
Right, good. Now then, yes. Today's Talk the Walk is quite a special one, isn't it?
Yes, definitely.
Because,
different.
Tell us where we're going.
Berkeley Square.
I love Berkeley Square.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when you think about that bit of music you're playing, who was it by? Eric, wasn't it? Mastrovitz?
Eric Mastrovitz, yeah.
Yep, and it's a song I think a lot of people know. What is...
Well, I mean, actually, it was Manning Sherwin and Jack Stratley, yep, that wrote the music to it. Yeah, beautiful song, though.
But what you'll notice today, mm-hmm, walking, I walked the gardens today.
All right.
I mean, it sounds funny. I think we do a lot of this lately, don't I?
Going through the garden. You're getting a bit horticulturally.
No, but what's happening, you see, in London is you can have a habit of just going driving around too much. Mm-hmm. All of us do sometimes, even those at the work, and you want to stretch your legs. And these are an amazing place, and you get a completely different perspective of life and London. So still talk the walk, obviously. But and everything does look different when you're standing in the middle there.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing... And again, got to say... Thanks to Westminster City Council on this instance. Fantastic information on their board, everything about it. The grounds are well maintained.
Yeah.
So,
and I love the benches. All the benches have got little, you know, like dedications on them, haven't they?
Yeah, that's a nice touch, that, isn't it? The fact that you can actually dedicate a bench. So,
and not all of them are for people that have croaked it. You know, quite often it's like, Lily, this is the bench that I asked you to marry me, and you said yes.
Yeah.
You know, they're now in divorce courts, but, I mean, it's a lovely, lovely thing.
They've got the benches cutting off, you mean?
Yeah. No, but I think it's beautiful there.
Yeah. So, if you look on the map where we are,
right,
bang in Berkeley Square, I would say probably, geographically, it is more of the centre of Mayfair. You know, it's about as near, because Grosvenor Square is just a little bit too far up to the northwest, isn't it? This is near on banging in the middle of the block of Mayfair, that square. The richest land, you know, we're talking, again, Duke of Westminster land, we are here. His estate, it's a superb place. It's beautiful, and it's got boys' toys around it. It's got clubs. It's got bars.
Mm-hmm.
But we're at the north side, and we're at the entrance to the gate. We are, and I found some amazing things out. I mean, Berkeley Square Gardens were first enclosed in 1747.
It
was odd. No one took responsibility then about these gardens. It was real. They become run down. What runs underneath here is the Tyburn. But there used to be, they used to call it an open sewer. There was a stream on the north side. So the River Tyburn, and we got Tyburn Gate, and Tyburn Gate, the River Tyburn runs under here, it does.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So, yeah, well, London is, if you think about it, lots of villages on top of rivers and streams. So they fell into a state of repair. An Act of Parliament was granted, and they were enclosed, effectively, mm-hmm, and trustees were appointed. And there was a local pub called Gwynn's Tavern in Berkeley Square. $7,000 it cost. And in 1767, they renovated the squares. Now, what's really funny, when you walk in, we're just talking what you were about, you'll notice these big plant pots and urns. We notice the pathway, a bit gravelly.
Yeah.
And you'll notice a gazebo with an urn on the top. What used to be there, though, and this was really funny, George III, there was a statue on the site, right in the middle of the square. And he was sitting on a horse. It was an equestrian sculpture. And it was cast in lead by a French sculptor called Beaupré in 1772. Guess what happened? The weight of George III forced the horse's legs to buckle. Actually forced the horse's legs to buckle. And so it was removed in 1827 and replaced by they call it the pump house or the gazebo.
Yeah.
It's It's really weird. Walk down to it. Yeah, it's a great place. If you're caught out there and it's piling down with rain, somewhere where you can quickly find a bit of cover or a bit of lightning, don't stand by the tree, get under the gazebo.
Yeah, I can, and it's a beautiful view from there, isn't it? Because you just look around, because that is... Yeah,
you are in the centre.
Centre of some of the richest parts, well, if not the richest part of the country.
Yeah.
And also, some of the best car showrooms in the country.
Oh, yeah, we'll be going on to them. All right. Don't worry. But what's funny, I got under the gazebo today, and there's this door. It's just a door, a white door. It looks like a door. What I found funny, it looked like a door out of B&Q.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just got an handle on it. And it's not just a normal handle, and it's got a lock. And I'm thinking, what's in there? I want to know now. You know, and yet on top of it, it's got this urn, this ornate urn, just sits there. Now, around us, and this is not a complete 100% fact, the trees are extremely old. They're called London plane trees, planted in 1779. And they reckon actually they are the oldest trees in London.
What, in the square itself?
In the square itself. And it was a guy called Edward Bouverie, and he lived at number 13. So they say number 13 was unlucky for some, but certainly not for trees.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get into the square, you've got to get in there to really get an idea of the size of them. They're shockingly big they are. And obviously you know the age of a tree by the width of the trunk, effectively.
Yeah.
You know, the circumference of it. And you can just see that they are humongous, some of these trees are there. A couple of smaller ones. So we walk past the gazebo. We're heading dead straight south. Because it's a rectangle, really, when I say in shape, isn't it? Berkeley mm-hmm. Square Gardens. Yeah. So we walk straight on. And I come across, well, there's some more plant pots, more benches. And there's the most awful piece of conceptual art.
Anyway, conceptual art. That's art that doesn't work, isn't it?
Yeah. And you'll notice it. If you just head to the southern gate...
Right.
We start off in the north, go past the gazebo, head to the southern gate, and you'll see a beautiful statue in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Of a lady. Yeah. But then just to your left, you'll think, what is that breeze block? And what is that other bit of stone? And what is this other piece? And it looks like a piece of... To be honest with you, I hate to say it if he's listening in the eyes, a piece of rubbish.
Yeah.
It looks like something that the builders left. And it's a bit of art.
He probably got about £38,000 for that.
But the thing, I couldn't find even anything who did or what. Maybe someone's just done it for fun.
Or maybe they just left a few breeze blocks there.
Someone glued it together. Yeah. But it's a real worry, it is like. I just found it really odd, to say the least. I mean, it just didn't look right at all. Just totally, totally out of touch with the square.
Right.
But you don't notice. I've taken some pictures of it, so you're going to be able to see that online. Anyway, there we've got this wonderful... You see the back of her. She's a nymph. This is after 1827. 31 years on, Henry, the third Marquess of Lansdowne, commissioned a figure of a nymph. And she has it's an actual water fountain.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we've turned all our water fountains off, haven't we?
Why have we done that?
I don't know, because I used to actually like the chilled water, that drink. It was something about when you're younger.
Yeah.
You're thirsty.
But you go to a park, there's a water fountain there that comes out of the mains. It's, you know, and it's like, it's perfectly good.
Thames water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think what it is they're saying that people might think they get germs from it. Or is it the fact they're in collusions with companies that want to sell us, a glass of water for £1.30?
Could be.
That annoys me, man. You go, you know, like you want some water and you have to go and buy a small bottle, half a litre, for £1.30.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, but this, what surprised me there today with this was, is just the fact, the way, the look of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was, you know, it's a beautiful, who is it? Alexander Munro, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful sculpture. It's like of a lady with a nymph. And it's just bang at the southern end, and then you got your gate. Now, again, take another look back, but the tip was weird now. Quite a busy, it's a busy junction, Berkeley Square, busy roads. It's a gyratory system in its own right. Lots of entrance, lots of exits.
Loads of cabs use that, don't they?
Oh, yeah, well, at the moment, and they're down there now. You know, this is hot cab land.
Oh, is this at the moment where you're going for the touts? Is this
near it? I'll tell you what, with what's going on at the moment with the LTDF, London Taxi Drivers Forum, and some good drivers off Dial-A-Cab, there's a couple of clubs down there, Bobble, Berkeley Street's obviously off it, where we've got Nobu, Funky Buddha. 8 out of 10, guess what? 8 out of 10 people that go to Nobu prefer a London taxi when they come out. It's fantastic.
That sounds like Whiskers, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's better than Whiskers. 8 out of 10 people prefer a London cab. When they're not harassed,
mm-hmm.
and when they're not being, you know, do you want a cab, do you want a cab? Because cab drivers don't do that, real cab drivers. You sit there and you let people choose. And they choose us.
See, because Berkeley Square is kind of like smack bang in the middle of Piccadilly.
Club Lane, yeah.
But if you think of Piccadilly and Park Lane and Oxford Street and Regent Street, it's in the middle, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
And so if you want to get from one place to another, that's probably where a cab driver is going to take you.
It's a big throughfare, it is, like the way it works, it does. I mean, I haven't managed to upload me pictures yet onto me laptop, so I could have shown you. But there's the door there, George. I mean, that's just a lovely door, isn't it? I'm sorry, look how boring that door is. That ain't right, is it? They need an ornate door, they need a decorative door.
They might have run out of money, it is just a B&Q
type
door.
Yeah, I think it probably will be just a pump house there or something.
Right.
But dead in front of us now, we've got the sculptor, so get in front of the nymph, but don't look at her, she's topless. Look across the road.
Right.
And there's this building. You'll see the big curved arch, revolving door, cab rank to your left, probably a cab parked up on the right. And it's got a couple of flagpoles either side of the building. But it just reminded me of that moment when the man runs out of the revolving door, the Daily Planet.
Yeah.
And he then flies off. You could use this on a film set for the Daily Planet. It's perfect for it. You know, I mean,
is this the north edge or the south edge?
The southern edge.
Right.
It's just a commercial building, it is. I mean, it's a... there's the arch, George. Look,
I know the building because I see it. I've seen that.
That's
quite
the artwork.
A lot.
I've had to mention that. That's the artwork.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly.
So. We're talking about. In fact, what we should do is anybody wants to tell me about the most ridiculous piece of public art in London. 020-722-42000.
Yeah.
So right. So we're down there. So that's just a big building, isn't it?
It's just a big building. Yeah. And what we got then is what we have here is some. It's a mixed square with buildings. We've got some modern offices now. We're walking around the outside now. Now, it's very awkward, this junction, to cross. Because, you know, to get to a proper zebra crossing, you've got to be very careful crossing this road. You have, like, anyway, there's Fitzmaurice Place on, that would be the south, sort of like, west corner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Down there's the Lansdowne Club. Now, Lansdowne was linked with the area anyway, you see. Like, I mean, it's all to do with the land of...
More importantly, there's the Curzon Cinema.
Yeah, that's around the corner.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not heading down there. We're gonna keep the right because this is really odd now. Number 50. Yeah. George Canning, the statesman, used to live there at number 50.
Right.
It's now a rare bookshop. I'm trying to think the name of the actual shop itself. It's a rare bookshop. And what was so interesting about it is now, the plate is Mags Brothers Limited, Rare Books and Manuscripts Autographs, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Royal Warrant from the Queen. But it's a haunted house. It's meant to be the most infamous
haunted house. Yeah.
Yeah. This is it.
I'd say they're the night on my own.
As I'm there, there's an Italian lady. This is it. And I said, yes, it is. Yes. She goes, well, can I go in? It's a bookshop. You can go in? Yeah, of course you can. I said, you know, it's just fantastic. But what you will notice is their railings and the curved archway with the beautiful lamp outside.
Yeah.
And then you notice the trumpets, it looks like, or the cones off it, it is like, on the railings. Because we're heading back north now up that side of the square where Annabelle's is.
Yeah.
The cab drivers know what I'm on about now. We're heading towards Hill Street. These houses, though, do have some of the finest front doors in London.
Yeah.
They really do. Get yourself to number 47 and take a look at that. And notice the knocker on number 47 as well. What a beautiful brown wooden front door you'll notice and see. Absolutely fantastic. Great.
That's not from B&Q, that's for sure.
That's definitely not. That's the one I want now in the middle of Berkeley Square.
Yeah.
So swap doors, they should. Do you mean? And it's just beautiful. And then further up the road then, another blue plaque. So we've got George Canning, statesman, when we have a statue of him, don't we, in Parliament Square?
Yeah.
Who lived further up the road? But Clive of India. Soldier, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And administrator. He was for the Empire days.
So this is on the west side of Berkeley
Square. That's exactly right,
right,
the west side of Berkeley Square. Then you come where you'll see Annabelle's. You'll notice it. There's a gate there. Looks like a bit of a tension over it. Stairs going downstairs. Always a doorman about, shuffling in and out, moving very wealthy people's cars.
Yeah.
You know, about, because they're in there dining lunch, whatever, dinner. This is the daytime. They're still busy.
Can I tell you one day, I was walking past there.
Yep.
And there was a... I don't know if it was a Lamborghini or Ferrari. It's an absolutely minted motor. Car was running. Door was open. No one there. And I thought to myself, should I take it for a spin? Seriously. And then the bloke car was running. He was harassed. And he obviously had to, you know, he's doing three or four jobs.
Yeah.
Door was open. Keys in the car. Car was purring away. Big George walks past. It's lucky I'm an honest man. I thought to myself, I wonder what the braking's like on this motor. Anyway, of course not. Anyway, but it is, there's a lot, I must walk that area two or three times a week. Sometimes what's funny about that is you'll see dozens of paparazzi around that, because someone's in.
Yeah, they've been tipped off there as well. Well, they've been told by the people that are going in there, aren't they?
Yeah, well, not always, because it's like we sometimes... I mean, that's
a bit of privacy. That's
one of Harry's haunts, isn't it, Annabelle's? Prince Harry. Hmm. He goes in there. I mean, it's well documented, because it's in the papers all the time. I don't think he tips them off.
No, I mean, they're all down Bougie's as well, South Ken, the other one, isn't it? That's the other one they're all seeing. I mean, it's, you know them when they are, it's just...
I saw him, I have seen him, I don't know who's going in, coming out, there's a big kerfuffle. And I've said this to Nigel from the Evening Standard, I was absolutely disgusted with what they were shouting at him to try and get, they were goading him.
Yeah.
And I thought, hang about, you know, whatever you say, he's a soldier, and, you know, and he's you know, in probably the most infamous family on the planet. You know, and you shouldn't be doing that. He's out for a drink. Anyway.
But you will notice that. You can't not notice it at night, you can't, Annabelle's anyway. Other thing, it's awkward for it. We haven't actually got a cab rank outside there.
That's weird.
Which is annoying. Well,
mind you, how many cabs are driving past Annabelle's?
Well, that's what they say.
In a 5 minute period, there'll be 50, won't there?
Yeah. Now, it's interesting you say this. It's always been a good place to get a cab, Mayfair. Reason why is the streets and roads are open.
Yeah.
And it is a big gyratory throughfare.
Yeah.
And you're coming at it at every angle. And you do use it when you travel through Mayfair a lot as a cab driver. If you're going from like the northwest down into the SW1 district, there's a good chance you'll end up coming through that way sometimes. So it's a very useful through route. Cantwell Junction called Hill Street. We cross over that. Hill Street's funny. Again, just some lots of Georgian, beautiful and Victorian houses along here. Go north again, and what you'll notice in the background where the junction, because it's an odd junction now when you get to the top here, you've got some modern-y office buildings that don't really look all that on the left-hand side. Then you've got this beautiful red sort of like brick block on the end, absolutely stunning. And then dead in front of you is Porsche.
I know.
And what I like about this is we're in the heart of the congestion zone, and we open a showroom. And it just says something, doesn't it?
Mind you, it's like if you've bought a Porsche, that £8 a day ain't going to bother you that much.
No, it's not.
It?
I mean, but to me, you know, and if we remember rightly, they were going to challenge the ex-mayor of London, weren't they? They were prepared to challenge him in court as well, the Porsche company were. But it was over the, wasn't it? They were thinking, you know, to do the ratings of cars, if they increased the congestion charge, they were prepared to go to court, they were.
Yeah.
Saying it was unfair. You know, and this is a motor
car. But mind you, can the cynic in me come out?
Yeah.
They're prepared to go to court, knowing full well that if they lost the case,
they'd have free adverts.
Yeah, loads of free adverts, and they're not paying the congestion charge anyway. It's their customers that are paying it. So they would win. It's a win-win situation.
Good, it is a win-win situation.
Although that's not the most impressive car showroom around.
No, we're going to come with that shortly. Dead ahead of us is Davies Street.
Right.
Yeah. And like I said, this is a weird junction, because wherever the Porsche is actually on Mount Street, Davies Street. And again, because of the square, big bike bays there are parked there, a couple of cab stands, another modern-y, sort of like now on the north, near the north entrance to the actual gardens, a quite boring-looking building. Then you got a club called Morton's, which is a bit burgundy and red. It is another sort of like drinking establishment. You know, members, as I understand it, guests included, nice-looking place. And then you'll notice... just another corner with a few houses, and then you'll notice a little lane, Bruton Lane. Lovely little lane. A couple of bars there, the New Guinea Grill. If you like a good, you know, a bit of meat and stuff, good steak.
I do like a good steak.
Alistair Griggs is down there as well. It's like, this is really nice down there. I think it's just different. It's a nice little lane, runs off Bruton Street. Now, as we come round, we turn to the right, Bruton Street, famous because someone nicked the painting out of one there or something, didn't they? A bit of artwork. Do you remember that? Years ago? Nicked a bit of artwork and jumped in a cab.
Oh!
Yeah, and he was the son of a bloke who was an ex-criminal.
Right.
Remember?
No, I don't remember
McVicar.
Oh, was it? The son of McVicar?
Yeah. It was, you know, it was like, so, you know, you would have thought, might have learnt, you know. From
No, I don't think so.
Because the father, no, but in the sense he went inside and then, you know, he come out and then...
Although the difference in there between John McVicar and his son, it's like, his son nicked a painting, John McVicar was one of the hardest enforcers in the country,
Who did a Lord of Greenside.
Yeah, and then came out.
Educated man.
Yeah, and a brilliant writer,
Exactly. And Bruton Street.
He does look like Roger Daltrey from The Who, though, doesn't he? When you see him.
Yeah.
But was that a film?
But Bruton Street is full of galleries. It's full of, like, I mean, Stella McCartney's down there, isn't it? I mean, you've got different labels, wonderful art galleries. But what you've got on that corner of Berkeley Square is probably the most ostentatious vehicle. You know, it's the Phantom, the Rolls Royce. Jack Berkeley, isn't it, for start? But the Rolls Royce, sorry. Mm-hmm. And
they've got the best ones in there, haven't they?
Yes, they have the convertible Phantom, which is completely different looking, really, to the ordinary Phantom, which has the, if you're a car enthusiast, it looks like the grille is just out of place, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mean it just makes a statement that I'm here and I've got money?
Yeah.
And you know it's on the road, but you can't hear it on the road. You know, it's that quiet, the refinement, the engineering. The fact it's got the suicide doors at the rear open out. Now, we had to remove those from the cabs. We have doors that open normally.
Yeah.
They got an exemption on that EEC directive that they could have the suicide
doors. So, Citroëns, apparently. The old Citroën, the Citroëns can still have the doors that way as well, I've heard.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think what Citroën would that one be. But, I mean, the fairway still have those doors that open out the cabs.
Right.
But for building a new vehicle, you're... There's an easy, you can't have doors that open like that, but somehow they got away with it, Roller. And, you know, the idea inside has a brolly in the door.
Yeah.
In the door, when you open it, has a brolly inside.
But so does my Skoda.
Yeah, well, I mean, mine has in the boot.
Yeah, no, but mine's got a brolly in the door.
But it's, this is, you know, if you, like I said, this
they don't like it if you just walk in there looking at cars, do they? Unless you look like you've got a fortune.
Yeah, but I mean, I'd never make that mistake because you don't check the shoes out if you want to see if you've got money.
I tell you a great story about this role. Have you ever heard a guitar player called Django Reinhardt?
No,
He was a jazz guitar player in the 40s and 50s, and he was a sensational one. He was the famous one who'd lost half his hand and was like a sensational guitar player but only had half hand. Anyway, he came from a gypsy family. And was very much, he kept with his roots, even though he was one of the most famous musicians in the world at that time. And he walks into Barclays, Rolls Royce in Berkeley Square, and he says, I'm looking at getting a car. And they look, yes, sir, of course you are. I said, would you mind leaving the establishment, sir? And he said, he was ignoring him. And he probably didn't realise that the British, the London surly approach. He says, would you like to see your car over here? And no, sir, can you go? And then suddenly he pulled out this wad of cash that could buy the car. Oh, yes, sir, sit in the car. So he sits in the car, John. He pays for the car, and he says, all right. And then he starts out. He drives straight through the window because he's never driven a car before. And, like, so he just puts it in a drive, puts the foot down, and goes straight through the window, straight into a car outside.
Classic.
He didn't really care.
No, I mean, but this stretch, get to. Now, tell you what's really interesting now when you're walking south now towards Berkeley Street. Really weird. I'm having a cup of coffee. I'm sitting in my cab. There's a two cab stand. There's a rather trendy, I can't think of the name of it, restaurant on the left hand side. There's another office block. Then there's a cafe called Pret. In front of a couple of bays are two electric charging points for electric cars. And you know what's amazing?
What?
The amount of people that stop and are amazed that you can get electricity. Guess what, George?
From
a
No,
you can get electricity from a plug, listen, and an electric socket. Because if I put a TV there and plugged it in, or a drill, no one would be bothered.
No.
And I just observed it today. What I was amazed about was people were amazed that you could plug an electric car into a charging point.
Yeah.
And actually taking photos. I'm like, I can't, honestly.
Lovely blue light on them,
yeah, the neon blue. But it did, this might sound weird now, but for 10 minutes I just observed, and it was like, and it weren't just tourists, these were business people, and this worried me. So I said to one bloke, if I put a TV there, you probably would take a photograph, actually, but that's what we should maybe have to do on the plinth, just plug a TV in. I mean, just on the, or something silly like that. But do you know what I mean? There's something odd. Because it's just a lead.
Yeah.
And that's what we do every day.
I know,
play
free.
Kettle.
Yeah.
It's nothing, there's no big deal.
But are they free or do you have to pay for them?
$1,000, you can just put a list.
It's a straight plug, isn't it?
That's what it is. But what's amazing is the amount of people that were just stopping and looking. And then tourists were...
Police and the Director of Public Prosecutions are setting up a panel to decide whether to begin a criminal investigation into the MP's expenses scandal. The Labour MP, Shahid Malik, has insisted he's done nothing wrong despite stepping down as Justice Minister. Police are warning people in London to be vigilant following a spate of cashpoint thefts. TV broadcaster Dame Joan Bakewell is the latest victim after having been targeted in Camden by tricksters posing as Good Samaritans. Work's begun on a new railway under London that will transform travel across the capital. Crossrail, the rail link that joins East and West London, should be up and running by 2017. And your weather, mainly dry for the next few hours, but wet again by dawn. That means longer spells of rain throughout the morning, but drier in the afternoon. There's your headline. More news in half an hour.
BBC London 94.9.
We call it the soundtrack to your life. Every Saturday from midday, and we're talking about music like this. A winning mix of the music we all grew up with in the 70s and 80s. And we get to hear from the biggest names from back in the day.
Simon Le Bon and John Taylor and Roger Taylor.
We used to have arguments, actually, who was the best band, Japan or Ultravox.
And this is Mid-Year. It's good to see you, sir.
Ultravox are back, you know, 30 years since we wrote Vienna.
Paula Knows and my very special guest. Welcome to
It was magic. Magic happening. And we captured it, luckily.
Join me, Gary Crowley, for the soundtrack to your life. Saturdays from midday and again in the evening at 6. Picking out the best new music and the best new talent around in London Calling.
BBC London 94.9.
What can you do this weekend that won't cost you anything? In fact, what can you do in London that don't cost nothing at all?
Talk the walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9.
We live in the most beautiful city on the planet Earth, and let's go around and have a look at the joys are there to be seen.
Talk the walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9.
My name's Big George, and I talk to cab driver John Kennedy about the best walks in London. It's fascinating.
Talk the walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9.
And here's a cast iron guarantee. It's walking through the streets of London, but without any sight of Ralph McTell.
Oh! How you doing, John? All right?
I'm fine.
Right, good. Now then, yes. Today's Talk the Walk is quite a special one, isn't it?
Yes, definitely.
Because,
different.
Tell us where we're going.
Berkeley Square.
I love Berkeley Square.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when you think about that bit of music you're playing, who was it by? Eric, wasn't it? Mastrovich?
Eric Mastrovich, yeah.
Yep, and it's a song I think a lot of people know. What is...
Well, I mean, actually, it's Manning Sherwin and Jack Strachey, yep, that wrote the music to it. Yeah, beautiful song, though.
But what you'll notice today, mm-hmm, walking, I walked the gardens today.
All right.
I mean, it sounds funny. I think we do a lot of this lately, don't I?
Going through the garden. You're getting a bit horticultural.
No, but what's happening, you see, in London is you can have a habit of just going driving around too much. Mm-hmm. All of us do sometimes, even those at the work, and you want to stretch your legs. And these are an amazing place, and you get a completely different perspective of life and London. So still talk the walk, obviously. But and everything does look different when you're standing in the middle there.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing... And again, got to say... Thanks to Westminster City Council on this instance. Fantastic information on their board, everything about it. The grounds are well maintained.
Yeah.
So,
and I love the benches. All the benches have got little, you know, like dedications on them, haven't they?
Yeah, I thought that's a nice touch, that, isn't it? The fact that you can actually dedicate a bench. So,
and not all of them are for people that have croaked it. You know, quite often it's like, Lily, this is the bench that I asked you to marry me, and you said yes.
Yeah.
You know, they're now in divorce courts, but, I mean, it's a lovely, lovely thing.
They've got the benches cutting off,
you mean? Yeah. No, but I think it's beautiful there.
Yeah. So, if you look on the map where we are,
right,
bang in Berkeley Square, I would say probably geographically it is more of the centre of Mayfair, you know. Mm-hmm. It's about as near, because Grosvenor Square is just a little bit too far up to the northwest, isn't it? This is near on banging in the middle of, yep, of the block of Mayfair, that square, the richest land, you know. We're talking again Duke of Westminster land, we are, yeah, here, his estate. It's a superb place. It's beautiful, and it's got boys' toys around it. It's got clubs. It's got bars.
Mm-hmm.
But we're at the north side, and we're at the entrance to the gate. We are, and I found some amazing things out. I mean, Berkeley Square Gardens were first enclosed in 1747.
Right.
It was odd No one took responsibility then about these gardens. It was real. They become run down. What runs underneath here is the Tyburn. But there used to be, they used to call it an open sewer. There was a stream on the north side. So the River Tyburn. And we got Tyburn Gate.
Yeah, yeah.
And Tyburn Gate. The River Tyburn runs under here, it does.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So, yeah, well, London is, if you think about it, lots of villages on top of some rivers and streams. So it's but there was, they fell into a state of repair. An Act of Parliament was granted, and they were enclosed, effectively, mm-hmm. and trustees were appointed, and there was a local pub called Gwynne's Tavern in Berkeley Square. $7,000 it cost. And in 1767, they renovated the squares. Now, what's really funny, when you walk in, we're just talking what you are about, you'll notice these big plant pots and urns. We notice the pathway, a bit gravelly.
Yeah.
And you'll notice a gazebo with an urn on the top. What used to be there, though, and this was really funny, George III, there was a statue on the site, right in the middle.
Right.
Of the square. And he was sitting on a horse. It was an equestrian sculpture. And it was cast in lead by a French sculptor called Beaupré in 1772. Guess what happened? The weight of George III forced the horse's legs to buckle. Actually forced the horse's legs to buckle. And so it was removed in 1827 and replaced by they call it the pump house or the gazebo.
Yeah.
It's really weird. Walk down to it. Yeah, it's a great place. If you're caught out there and it's piling down with rain, somewhere where you can quickly find a bit of cover or a bit of lightning, don't stand by the tree, get under the gazebo.
Yeah, I can, and it's a beautiful view from there, isn't it? Because you just look around, because that is...
Yeah, you are in the centre.
Centre of some of the richest parts, well, if not the richest part of the country.
Yeah.
And also, some of the best car showrooms in the country.
Oh, yeah, we'll be going on to them. All right. Yeah, do not worry. But what's funny, I got under the gazebo today, mm-hmm. and there's this door. It's just a door, a white door, and it looks like a door. What I found funny, it looked like a door out of B&Q,
mm-hmm.
and it's just got an handle on it, and it's not on just normal handle, and it's got a lock, and I'm thinking, what's in there? I want to know now. You know, and yet on top of it, it's got this urn, this ornate urn, just sits there. Now, around us, and this is, it's not a complete 100% fact, the trees are extremely old. They're called London plane trees, planted in 1779. And they reckon actually they are the oldest trees in London.
What, in the square itself?
In the square itself. And it was a guy called Edward Bouverie, and he lived at number 13. So they say number 13 was unlucky for some, but certainly not for trees.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get into the square, you've got to get in there to really get an idea of the size of them. They're shockingly big they are. And obviously, you know the age of a tree by the width of the trunk, effectively.
Yeah.
You know, the circumference of it. And you can just see that they are humongous, some of these trees are there. A couple of smaller ones. So we walk past the gazebo. We're heading dead straight south. Because it's a rectangle, really, when I say in shape, isn't it? Berkeley mm-hmm. Square Gardens. Yeah. So we walk straight on. And I come across, there's some more plant pots, more benches. And there's the most awful piece of conceptual art.
Anyway, conceptual art. That's art that doesn't work, isn't it?
Yeah. And you'll notice it. If you just head to the southern gate...
Right.
We start off in the north, go past the gazebo, head to the southern gate, and you'll see a beautiful statue in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Of a lady. Yeah. But then just to your left, you'll think, what is that breeze block? And what is that other bit of stone? And what is this other piece? And it looks like a piece of... To be honest with you, I hate to say it if he's listening in the eyes, a piece of rubbish.
Yeah.
It looks like something that the builders left. And it's a bit of art.
You probably got about £38,000 for that.
But the thing, I couldn't find even anything who did or what. Maybe someone's just done it for fun.
Or maybe they just left a few breeze blocks there.
Someone glued it together. Yeah. But it's a real worry, it is like. I just found it really odd, to say the least. I mean, it just didn't look right at all. Just totally, totally out of touch with the square.
Right.
But you don't notice. I've taken some pictures of it, so you're going to be able to see that online. Anyway, there we got this wonderful... You see the back of her. She's a nymph. This is after 1827. 31 years on, Henry, the third Marquess of Lansdowne, commissioned a figure of a nymph.
And she has it's an actual water fountain. Mm-hmm. But again, we've turned all our water fountains off, haven't we?
Why have we done that?
I don't know, because I used to actually like the chilled water, that drink. It was something about when you're younger.
Yeah.
You're thirsty.
I used to, but you go to a park, there's a water fountain there that comes out of the mains. It's, you know, and it's like, it's perfectly good.
Thames water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think what it is they're saying that people might think they get germs from it. Or is it the fact they're in collusions with companies that want to sell us, a glass of water for £1.30?
Could be.
That annoys me, man. You go, you want some water and you have to go and buy a small bottle, half a litre, for £1.30.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, but this, what surprised me there today with this was, is just the fact, the way, the look of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was, you know, it's a beautiful, who is it? Alexander Munro, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful sculpture. It's like of a lady with a nymph. And it's just bang at the southern end, and then you got your gate. Now, again, take another look back, but the tip was weird now. It's a busy junction, Berkeley Square, busy roads. It's a gyratory system in its own right. Lots of entrance, lots of exits.
Loads of cabs use that, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Well, at the moment, and they're down there now, you know, this is hot cab land.
Oh, is this at the moment where you're going for the touts? Is this
near it? Yeah, I'll tell you what, with what's going on at the moment with the LTDF, the London Taxi Drivers Forum, and some good drivers off Dial-A-Cab, there's a couple of clubs down there, Bobble, Berkeley Street's obviously off it, where we've got Nobu, Funky Buddha. 8 out of 10, guess what? 8 out of 10 people that go to Nobu prefer a London taxi when they come out. It's fantastic.
That sounds like Whiskers, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's better than Whiskers. 8 out of 10 people prefer a London cab. When they're not harassed, mm-hmm. and when they're not being, do you want a cab, do you want a cab? Because cab drivers don't do that, real cab drivers. You sit there and you let people choose. And they choose us.
See, because Berkeley Square is kind of like smack bang in the middle of Piccadilly.
Club Lane, yeah.
But if you think of Piccadilly and Park Lane and Oxford Street and Regent Street, it's in the middle, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
And so if you want to get from one place to another, that's probably where a cab driver is going to take you.
It's a big throughfare, like the way it works, it does. I mean, I haven't managed to upload me pictures yet onto me laptop, so I could have shown you. But there's the door there, George. I mean, that's just a lovely door, isn't it? I'm sorry. Look how boring that door is. That ain't right, is it? They need an ornate door. They need a decorative door.
You think they might have run out of money? It is just a B&Q type
door. Yeah, I think it probably will be just a pump house there or something.
Right.
But dead in front of us now, we've got the sculptor. So get in front of the nymph, but don't look at her. She's topless. Look across the road.
Right.
And there's this building. You'll see the big curved arch, revolving door, cab rank to your left, probably a cab parked up on the right. And it's got a couple of flagpoles either side of the building, but it just reminded me of that moment when the man runs out of the revolving door, the Daily Planet.
Yeah.
And he then flies off. You could use this on a film set for the Daily Planet. It's perfect for it. You know, I mean, it's...
Is this the north edge or the south edge?
The southern edge.
Right.
It's just a commercial building, it is. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a... there's the arch, George. Look,
I know the building because I see it. I've seen that.
That's
quite
the artwork.
A lot.
I've had to mention that. That's the artwork.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly.
So. We're talking about. In fact, what we should do is anybody wants to tell me about the most ridiculous piece of public art in London. 020-722-42000.
Yeah.
So right. So we're down there. So that's just a big building, isn't it?
It's a big building. Yeah. And what we got then is what we have here is some. It's a mixed square with buildings. We've got some modern offices now. We're walking around the outside now. Now, it's very awkward, this junction,
mm-hmm.
to cross. Because, you know, to get to a proper zebra crossing, you've got to be very careful crossing this road. You have, like, anyway, there's Fitzmaurice Place on, that would be the south, sort of, like, west corner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Down there's the Lansdowne Club. Now, Lansdowne was linked with the area anyway, you see. Like, I mean, it's all to do with the land.
More importantly, there's the Curzon Cinema.
Yeah, that's around the corner.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not heading down there. We're gonna keep the right because this is really odd now. Number 50. Yeah. George Canning, the statesman, used to live there at number 50.
Right.
It's now a rare bookshop. I'm trying to think the name of the actual shop itself. It's a rare bookshop. And what was so interesting about it is now, the plate is Mags Brothers Limited, Rare Books and Manuscripts Autographs, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Royal Warrant from the Queen. But it's a haunted house. It's meant to be the most infamous
haunted house.
Yeah, yeah. This is it.
I'd say there the night on my own.
As I'm there, there's an Italian lady. This is it. And I was like, yes, it is. Yes. She goes, well, can I go in? It's a bookshop. You can go in. Yeah, of course you can. I said, it's just fantastic. But what you will notice is their railings and the curved archway with the beautiful lamp outside.
Yeah.
And then you notice the trumpets. It looks like or the cones off it. It is like on the railings. There are because we're heading back north now up that side of the square where Annabelle's is.
Yeah.
The cab drivers know what I'm on about now. We're heading towards Hill Street. These houses though. do have some of the finest front doors in London.
Yeah.
They really do. Get yourself to number 47 and take a look at that. And notice the knocker on number 47 as well. What a beautiful brown wooden front door you'll notice and see. Absolutely fantastic.
Great. That's bit. Not from B&Q, that's for
that's
sure,
definitely
is it?
Not. That's the one I want now in the middle of Berkeley Square. Yeah. So swap doors, they should. Do you mean? And it's just beautiful. And then further up the road then, another blue plaque. So we've got George Canning, statesman, where we have a statue of him, don't we, in Parliament Square?
Yeah.
Who lived further up the road? But Clive of India. Soldier, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And administrator. He was for the Empire days.
So this is on the west side of Berkeley
Square. That's exactly right, right, the west side of Berkeley Square. Then you come where you'll see Annabelle's. You'll notice it. There's a gate there. Looks like a bit of a tension over it. Stairs going downstairs. Mm-hmm. Always a doorman about, shuffling in and out, moving very wealthy people's cars.
Yeah.
You know, about, because they're in there dining lunch, whatever, dinner. And this is the daytime. They're still busy.
Can I tell you one day, I was walking past there.
Yep.
And there was a, I don't know if it was a Lamborghini or Ferrari. It's an absolutely minted motor. Car was running. Door was open. No one there. And I thought to myself, should I take it for a spin? Seriously. And then the bloke car was running. He was harassed. And he obviously had to, you know, he's doing three or four jobs.
Yeah.
Door was open. Keys in the car. Car was purring away. Big George walks past. It's lucky I'm an honest man. I thought to myself, I wonder what the braking's like on this motor. Anyway, of course not. Anyway, but it is, there's a lot, I must walk that area two or three times a week. Sometimes what's funny about that is you'll see dozens of paparazzi around that because someone's in.
Yeah, they've been tipped off there as well. Well, they've been told by the people going in there, aren't they?
Yeah, well, not always because it's like we sometimes, I mean,
that's one bit of privacy.
That's one of Harry's taunts, isn't it, Annabelle's? Prince Harry.
Hmm.
He goes in there. I mean, it's well documented because it's in the papers all the time. I don't think he tips them off.
No. I mean, they're all down bougies as well. South Ken, the other one, isn't it? That's the other one they're all seeing. I mean, it's, you know them where they are. It's just.
I saw him. I have seen him. I don't know who's going and coming out. There's a big kerfuffle. And I've said this to Nigel from the Evening Standard. I was absolutely disgusted with what they were shouting at him to try and get. They were goading him.
Yeah.
And I thought, hang about. You know, whatever you say, he's a soldier, and you know, and he's you know, in probably the most infamous family on the planet, you know, and you shouldn't be doing that. He's out for a drink, you know. Anyway,
but you will notice that you can't not notice it at night. You can't ring the bells anyway. Other thing, it's awkward for it. We haven't actually got a cab rank outside there.
That's weird.
Which is annoying. Well,
mind you, how many cabs are driving past Annabelle's?
Well, that's what they say. Why? Yeah.
In a 5 minute period, there'll be 50, won't there?
Yeah. It's always it's interesting you say this. It's always been a good place to get a cab, Mayfair.
Mm-hmm.
Reason why is the streets and roads are open.
Yeah.
And it is a big gyratory throughfare, and you're coming at it at every angle, and you do use it when you travel through Mayfair a lot as a cab driver. If you're going from, like, the northwest down into the SW1 district, there's a good chance you'll end up coming through that way sometimes. So it's a very useful through route. Cumbwell Junction, called Hill Street, we cross over that. Hill Street's funny. Again, just some lots of Georgian, beautiful and Victorian houses along here. Go north again, and what you'll notice in the background where the junction of, because it's an odd junction now when you get to the top here, you've got some modern-y office buildings that don't really look all that on the left-hand side. Then you've got this beautiful red sort of like brick block on the end, absolutely stunning. And then dead in front of you is Porsche.
I know.
And what I like about this is we're in the heart of the congestion zone, and we open a showroom. And it just says something, doesn't it?
Mind you, it's like if you've bought a Porsche, that £8 a day ain't going to bother you that much.
No, it's not.
It?
I mean, but to me, you know, and if we remember rightly, they were going to challenge the ex-mayor of London, weren't they? They were prepared to challenge him in court as well, the Porsche company were. It was over the, wasn't it? They were thinking, you know, to do the ratings of cars, if they increased the congestion charge, they were prepared to go to court, they were.
Yeah.
Saying it was unfair. You know, and this is a motor.
But mind you, can the cynic in me come out?
Yep.
They're prepared to go to court, knowing full well that if they lost the case,
they'd have free adverts.
Yeah, loads of free adverts, and they're not paying the congestion charge anyway. It's their customers that are paying it, so they would win. It's a win-win situation.
Good, it is a win-win situation.
Although that's not the most impressive car showroom around.
No, we're going to come to that shortly. Dead ahead of us is Davies Street.
Right.
Yeah. Like I said, this is a weird junction because wherever the Porsche is actually on Mount Street, Davies Street. And again, Because of the square, big bike bays there are parked there, a couple of cab stands, another modern-y, sort of like now in the north, near the north entrance to the actual gardens, a quite boring-looking building. Then you got a club called Morton's,
mm-hmm.
which is a bit burgundy and red. It is another sort of like drinking establishment. You know, members, as I understand it, guests yeah. included, nice-looking place. And then you'll notice just another corner with a few houses, and then you'll notice a little lane, Bruton Lane. Lovely little lane. Mm-hmm. A couple of bars there, the New Guinea Grill. If you like a good, you know, a bit of meat and stuff, good steak.
I do like a good Alistair steak.
Alistair Griggs is down there as well. It's like, this is really nice down there. I think it's just different. It's a nice little lane, runs off Bruton Street.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as we come round, we turn to the right, Bruton Street, famous because someone nicked a painting out of one there or something, didn't they? A bit of artwork. Do you remember that? Years ago? Nicked a bit of artwork mm-hmm. and jumped in a cab.
Oh!
Yeah, and he was the son of a bloke who was an ex-criminal.
Right.
Remember?
No, I don't remember
McVicar.
Oh, was it? It was the son of McVicar.
Yeah. You would have thought, might have learnt, you know.
From yeah, no, I don't think so.
Because the father, no, but in the sense he went inside and then, you know, he come out and then...
Although the difference in there between John McVicar and his son, it's like his son nicked a painting. John McVicar was one of the hardest enforcers in the country,
Who did a law degree inside.
Yeah, and then came out.
Educated man.
Yeah, and a brilliant writer, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And Bruton Street.
He did not look like Roger Daltrey from The Who, though, doesn't he? When you see him.
Yeah.
But was that a film?
But Bruton Street mm-hmm. is full of galleries. It's full of, like, I mean, Stella McCartney's down there, isn't it? I mean, you've got different labels, wonderful art galleries. But what you've got on that corner of Berkeley Square is probably the most ostentatious vehicle. You know, it's the Phantom, the Rolls Royce. Jack Berkeley, isn't it, for style? But the Rolls Royce, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And
they've got the best ones in there, haven't they?
Yes, they have the convertible Phantom, which is completely different looking, really, to the ordinary Phantom, which has the... If you're a car enthusiast, it looks like the grille is just out of place, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? It just makes a statement that I'm here and I've got money.
Yeah.
And you know it's on the road, but you can't hear it on the road. You know, it's that quiet, the refinement, the engineering, the fact it's got the suicide doors at the rear that open out. Now, we had to remove those from the cabs. We have doors that open normally.
Yeah.
They got an exemption on that EEC directive that they could have the suicide
doors. So, Citroëns, apparently. The Citroëns can still have the doors that way as well, I've heard.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think what Citroën would that one be. But, I mean, the fairway still have those doors that open out the cabs.
Right.
But for building a new vehicle,
mm-hmm.
you can't have doors that open like that. But somehow they got away with it, Roller. And, you know, the idea inside has a brolly in the door.
Yeah.
In the door. When you open it, it has a brolly inside.
So does my Skoda.
Yeah, well, I mean, mine does. In the boot.
Yeah. No, but mine's got a brolly in the door.
But it's, this is, you know, if you, like I said, this...
They don't like it if you just walk in there looking at cars, do they? Unless you look like you've got a fortune.
Yeah, but I mean, I'd never make that mistake because you don't check the shoes out if you want to see if you've got money.
I'll tell you a great story about this roller. Have you ever heard a guitar player called Django Reinhardt?
No, he
was a jazz guitar player in the 40s and 50s, and he was a sensational one. He was the famous one who had lost half his hand and was like a sensational guitar player, but only had half hand. Anyway, he came from a gypsy family and was very much, he kept with his roots, even though he was one of the most famous musicians in the world at that time. And he walks into Barclays, Rolls Royce in Berkeley Square, and he says, I'm looking at getting a car. And they look, yes, sir, of course you are. I said, would you mind leaving the establishment, sir? And he said, he was ignoring him. And he probably didn't realise that the British, the London surly approach. He says, you got over here. And no, sir, can you go? And then suddenly he pulled out this wad of cash that could buy the car. Oh, yes, sir, sit in the car. So he sits in the car, John. He pays for the car, and he says, all right. And then he starts it up. He drives straight through the window because he's never driven a car before. And, like, so he just puts it in a drive, puts the foot down, and it goes straight through the window, straight into a car outside.
Classic.
He didn't really care.
No, but, I mean, but this stretch, mm-hmm. get to. Now, tell you what's really interesting now when you're walking south now towards Berkeley Street. Really weird. I'm having a cup of coffee. I'm sitting in my cab. There's a two cab stand. There's a rather trendy, I can't think of the name of it, restaurant on the left hand side. There's another office block. Then there's a cafe called Eat. Next to it, a cafe called Pret. In front of a couple of bays are two electric charging points.
Mm-hmm.
for electric cars. And you know what's amazing?
What?
The amount of people that stop and are amazed that you can get electricity, guess what, George?
From free.
No, you can get electricity from a plug,
mm-hmm.
listen, and an electric socket. Because if I put a TV there and plugged it in, or a drill, no one would be bothered.
No.
And I just observed it, Dave. What I was amazed about was people were amazed that you could plug an electric car into a charging point.
Yeah.
And actually taking photos. I'm like, I can't, honestly.
Lovely blue light on them, though.
Yeah, the neon-y blue. But it did, this might sound weird now, but for 10 minutes I just observed, and it was like, and it weren't just tourists, these were business people.
Yeah.
And this worried me. So I said to one bloke, if I put a TV there, well, you probably would take a photograph, actually, but that's what we should maybe do on the plinth.
Yeah.
Just plug a TV in. I mean, just on the, or something silly like that. But do you know what I mean? There's something odd. Because it's just a lead.
Yeah.
And that's what we do every day.
I know, plug
a kettle.
Yeah.
It's nothing, there's no big deal.
But are they free or do you have to pay for them?
It's free electricity.
Yeah. That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, that
I think I will take the TV down there, though.
Yeah, get a lead and plug in. Yeah, so, because you can plug them cars indoors. You can just put a lead.
So it is a straight plug, isn't it? That's
yeah, but what's amazing is the amount of people that were just stopping and looking. And then tourists were really finding it interesting. But the amount of, well, Londoners, I'd say, people that live and work in London. And they're just, everyone's amazed at this. And everyone's taking photographs of it. And I think it's what you said. It's the pole that comes out of the ground.
Yeah.
When it's blue, isn't it, when it's not being used? And when it's charging, it goes green.
Yeah.
It does.
I know. I love it. I think it's great.
Well, I do. But, I mean, where's the electricity being generated? You see, here's the flaw, you see, in the whole argument. Because you've got someone somewhere else who's then been polluted.
Yeah.
You see, so it's, you know, it ain't the be-all and end-all. The two cars that were there, they look all right, they do. Would I want one?
No.
No, thank you. I don't want to drive
a milk float about, that's what it is.
Well, I mean, I think it'd look better in a milk float.
Yeah.
Actually, you see, that if it was a milk float, actually, I think it's got a bit of kudos compared to the, I mean, they look all right for around town. What worry me, I wouldn't want to be on the end of an impact in one of those things.
Mind you, Warren Buffett, who's a billionaire.
Has one.
And he's done 50,000 miles.
In his what?
In his electric car.
Which one, though?
I have no idea.
Or is it a Toyota Prius?
No, I have no idea. Unless he's Lassie McScotland.
Yeah, well, I mean, Warren Buffett, I do admire him. I don't, you know, he's a good businessman. Berkshire Hathaway, isn't it? His company. I mean, he's, you know, he still managed to return profits, he has, isn't he? I think, you know, literally, even in a bad market, he does it. And he believes in the meritocracy. He's a good man. He's, you know, digressing again. But, you're at this junction again. Berkeley Square. Berkeley Street in front of you. We mentioned it already about Nobu, when you got the Palm Beach Casino. We got Hay Hill. So those of you on the knowledge, this is one hell of an important junction and square. There's points. To be honest with you, you could just throw someone literally from one side of the square to the other. I'll take the George Canning plaque, please, to Jack Barclay's. And then I'll take your service centre, which is down in Battersea, not in the square. You know what I mean? There are people out there. Look, Homer's on the knowledge, you know. He's doing really well. I called over with him the other day. I tested him.
Yeah.
I've got to tell you, really impressed. George, really impressed I was with him.
Here we go.
Guess what? Under pressure.
Yeah.
In front of other people as well.
Yeah.
And he did well.
Well,
it's good to see.
He's a stand-up guy. Yeah. Stand-up guy. John, I mean, Berkeley Square is one of my favourite parts of London.
It's a beautiful square.
And it's a square that, as you said, has got the oldest trees in London, and it's open to the public.
And it's simple.
Yeah.
You see, the thing is, because guess what? Most of us can't afford a Porsche. Here's the best bit, the artwork around the corner. Most of us can't afford, here's the best bit, the Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
You actually can't spend any money there. And you know, I broke my gold and I bought a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
You can always bring a flask.
And you can also go out to the most haunted house in the country.
Yeah, and it's a bookshop. It's open there with Rare Walk Glass Books, and you know, the Queen uses this shop as well. And it's just beautiful. Fine architecture. John Adam, some of his architecture. Mm-hmm. Notice it. Compare the modern to the old. And I still think the old stands up. Well, it does stand up because it's there. It looks 10 times.
So, John, if anybody wants to see the pictures, because you always take an array of pictures, work on this bit of.
I got a bit of news to say.
I'll go on what?
Listen quickly. Colin's been out filling up some pictures where I hadn't gone.
Yeah.
And he went on one of the walks. He couldn't believe how long one of them was.
He's a sandy pants lightweight, mate. He was out there today. Yeah. He let me know. He was in. He was in Regent's Park.
Yeah, that's what happened to him. I know. It was a long one, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Remember the one, All Souls Church?
That's right,
the gate. He went, how far?
Yeah, I know. Outrageous. John, as ever. So,
freelondonevents.co.uk.
Thank you very much indeed. Right, you ready for this, John? Because all the cabbies, this is all they wait for, okay? All right, record this, Ollie.
Talk the Walk with John the Cabbie, BBC 94.9.
That's right, every week we have John the Cabbie in. Was it nice coffee you had there, John?
Tea.
Did you have it? No, but in Berkeley Square.
Oh, superb.
Lovely. Talk the Walk with John the Cabbie, BBC 94.9. Now, did you go to Pret or did you go to Eat? Or Eat or Pret? Where did you go?
Pret.
Ah, but you'd have preferred to have gone to the tea out on Chelsea Bridge, wouldn't you?
Of course I would have.
And then you could have
talked the walk with John the Cabbie, BBC 94.9.
Ah, lovely. John, we'll see you sometime next week, yeah?
Yes, Friday.
Right, you are tuned to BBC London 94.9, your station for London. Oi! On 94.9.